Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? What you gonna do, Jotham, when those bad boys come for you? What you gonna do when they come for you, sir?
I don't think I'm gonna do anything.
Oh, my goodness. Lord be aware. Lord be aware when they're out there. This is Hawkeyes, folks, here with your hosts.
I'm Jotham.
And I'm Kiefer over here. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Tuesday evening. Not too bad out there tonight.
Honestly, you know what? Especially from the weekend. You know, it's warming up.
Oh, my God. Saturday and Sunday out in the Waterloo? Woo.
Yeah, brisk. So, you follow Sex Buzz, right?
Of course.
On Instagram. And there was the one picture they posted, and it said Antarctica, and they showed the temperature, and it said minus 23. Then it said Markham had the temperature, and it said minus 24.
Unbelievable.
So, unbelievable. It was cold. So, you know, I was outside for a few minutes, and I didn't have gloves on, and I was, whoo.
Yeah, my lord. It was not a good weekend to be outside. It was a bad weekend to be outside. That is for certain sure.
You know what? My parents are from the Caribbean, and I was like, why'd you ever have to come here? Oh, my God. You know, God. I was second-guessing the whole thing.
Yeah, let's go back now. But you know where it was a good place to be? On the track and in the pool and on the ice rink, per se, for curling. I believe it was like an ice sheet of ice.
You know what? I don't know what you call it, but you know, honestly, this was a really good weekend for Laurier Sports. We got a lot to talk about today. Your Laurier Golden Hawks, lot of events that went on. So we have a packed show of a lot of sports to get into. And it was just a fun weekend, man.
Absolutely too. So we got our show going on this week. So we got some middle indoor distance running. Pardon me. We have some swimming that happened this past weekend. We got some curling from your men's and women's team. Had a great weekend at the tournament.
Yeah, we got men's and women's hockey. Hmm. And of course, we're going to touch on a little basketball, which, you know, was a really good weekend. A lot of W's over there.
Great weekend to be away from Waterloo and catching dubs. Great weekend to be away. Starting things off, of course, with our swim teams who had a great meet. Our athletes of the week, pardon me, of course, our swim teams will certainly get there, of course. Our athletes of the week.
Yeah, so two Hawks that basketball was, as we mentioned, was the sports of the weekend. So your two athletes of the week are both coming from the basketball teams. On the men's side of things, your athlete of the week is going to be Ali So, who had an absolutely ridiculous weekend this weekend. We will talk more about that later. But I mean, this guy, I don't know what you call it, because you can call it a breakout year, I guess, but this guy is going off.
Just to give you a little preface, just think of James Harden when you think about Ali So.
And that's honestly we will totally talk about this later, but that's about who I'm thinking right now.
A little taste, if you will.
And your female athlete of the week, is going to be none other than Jill Condron from the women's side of things. She was putting up some good numbers, getting some, you know, as you like to say, working the fundamentals, and getting in the paint. She was putting up some nice boards and, you know, being productive on offense as well. So, you know, and she was a key contributor into, the Hawks win over the weekend.
Joe, then let me ask you something.
What's up?
When you play on a hockey rink or on a basketball court or even on a football field, do you play on just an empty grass field or just an empty piece of wood or just a straight slab of ice?
I'm going to go with no.
No, it's painted.
It's definitely painted. It's painted.
And you get there by going where you came from, and the paint is where we came from, and that's where Jill Condron dominated that past game.
Hey, you know what? You live and die by it.
Absolutely.
That's what it is. If you don't protect it, somebody else will take it.
And you dominate it. You protect it, and you dominate both sides of that paint. You know, it's you know, it got you there, so you got to show some respect.
We'll get into basketball a little later, and we'll talk about that paint presence. But definitely send your congratulations to those two Hawks who had a really good weekend, I'd say, to put it lightly. So we're going to go into a little bit of a scoreboard, kind of blitz through some of these sports and give you a quick update on them. The first we're going to start with is the women's curling, who attended the Brock Invitational over the weekend. Your Hawks had a pretty good outing out in St. Catharines. They played five games. Are they games or matches?
You can call it a match game. You
know. I'm going to call them games. And, you know, your Hawks were very successful, winning four out of the five games. And if you want to say, we could say by large margins, some of them being very large. But they had some really good outings. They played Ryerson, Mac, Guelph, Brock, and Queens. The only loss there was to the Guelph Griffins, which was a tight one. You know, I don't ever have love for Guelph. Don't ever.
You know, they have a nice cannon, and I like their mascot. But other than that, it's not for me.
No, it's not. It's not my cup of tea, if you will.
No, which we are having a great one by Tim Hortons, sponsored by this episode this week.
You know what I wish?
Hey, throw it out there. You never know.
If you know somebody from Tim Hortons listening right now, definitely shoot us a sponsor. I'd be more than happy.
Delicious hot chocolate with a little caramel spice touch in there. Ooh, I tell you folks, it's the perfect thing to have on a cold Tuesday evening. Continuing with that curling, we also had the men who went 3-1-1 as they had, unfortunately, a loss against Waterloo, a W against McMaster, a large victory against Ryerson, a victory against Guelph, and they had a tie game against the Queens Golden Gales. So overall, beat a lot of the good teams. We got our revenge against Guelph, which is huge, you know. Yeah. Beat them before and they came out and did what they got to do. So great tournament on their part. I believe it was their first one of the year, too, so really kind of getting their feet wet in the tournament picture out there. So they will close out their preparations for the OUA Championship with a host event. The Laurier Invitational, a one-done Bon Spiel on Saturday, February 9th, the weekend before they go for gold on home ice at the KW Granite Club. So if you're available, come check it out.
Definitely go check them out. The next sport we're going to quickly get into is going to be the swimming. Over the weekend, they went down to Toronto at the University of Toronto to the Toronto Varsity Club Invitational, where there were some notable performances. Most notably was McLean Moore, who placed third in the 400-meter freestyle. In that same event, we had Jocelyn Chassie, who placed sixth, and then Bailey Dahlbeck, who plays ninth. Jasmine Rains also had herself two fairly successful races in the women's 100-meter breaststroke. Jasmine Rains was able to grab a fourth. And then also in the women's 50-meter, she was able to grab a sixth. So fairly productive outing for her. The one more notable in the men's 50-meter breaststroke, Kenny Tam placed ninth. So your Hawks having a pretty good outing there. The next kind of meet, if you will, would be the OUA Championship, and that won't be till Thursday, February 7th. So a bit of a break there, but definitely always support your Hawks.
And that'll be up at Brock University. So if you're in the field, do be sure to come check that out. As well, shifting gears to our indoor middle distance, as aforementioned the previous week. Good-looking week we had from then before. Sydney Patterson, a third year from Rockwood, Ontario, had a gold finish in the 1500 meter, while Sarah Kramer Bing of Mississauga, Ontario, matched her result, also capturing a gold in the 3000 meter. Patterson has now medaled in 1500 meters every 1500 meter race she's competed in, and she was impressive once again as she took the lead from the gun and just never looked back, winning the race by 30 meters. So huge races for those girls, pardon me. The Hawks middle distance team will return to the track in 2 weeks' time for the York Open on Saturday, February 2nd, day before the Super Bowl. So, you know, we all know you're free before then. So if you can, come check it out and then enjoy your Sunday.
So that about wraps up our quick overview of a bunch of the sports happening. And we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive now. Looking at the women's hockey team, over the weekend, they had an interesting one where they split this series over the weekend, beating the York Lions with a score of 1-0. That was the home game on Friday, so that was the Winter Carnival game, so a nice little showing there. And then you had a road game at Guelph where unfortunately your Hawks lost by a score of 3-0. So, Kiefer, let's dive into this game and tell me what you think.
Well, you know, I remember when we did our show to come back into the season, you know, one thing we did is we did like kind of our New Year's resolutions. You know, if we could ask for one thing for each team, you know, what would we really love for them to improve on? And one thing that I remember I stated for the women's hockey team was to help Colin Myers out. And what happened that game right there? She got a shutout with 25 save effort right there. And great job all around for that whole team to be productive and not only win a game against York, but win a game against the opponent you just played in the previous game before that on the 12th of January.
And I believe that is her second shutout of the season. I mean, it's not like it's a regular recurrence, these shutouts. So you're asking for the help, and she's definitely getting it there.
Exactly. There's been a bit of a turnaround, if you will. They're starting to figure things out. As even in their loss against Guelph, 2-3-0 is not by any means a massive lopsided defeat. It's very much a tight, close game. Unfortunately, Guelph came out to a bit of a strong start, and they just kind of took the lead and ran with it at that point. Really, their power play goal in the first period, in the 11:15 mark by Miranda Lance from the Guelph Griffins, really kind of sealed the deal at that point there. And, you know, after that, it's tough to come back.
It is. It really does. And we talk, I don't know how many times we've talked about it. Just the importance of getting that fast start. And Guelph did it. They came out the gate with 10 shots, got that fast start, pardon me. And, you know, your Golden Hawks really weren't able to rebound. And it's always tough. It's like in a boxing match. Well, the first thing you're looking at is, you know, everyone's hyped up for a fight. You as a fan, you're hyped up to watch it. But you really want to see those first couple punches. What happens? What happens when the guy you're rooting for gets knocked down? You know, is that the blow? No. Is he going to get up? And you want to see that rebound. Because that kind of tells you know what? This guy isn't, your opponent's not phasing them or anything like that. So it's really looking at when you get that first punch, those first couple knockdowns, are you going to get up? Is it okay? Guelph got their punches in. Laurier just wasn't able to get up, unfortunately. This was one of those games. Guelph was pummeling them with shots on net, and three of them snuck in and sealed the deal for them.
Sounds like you were spitting the plot line of the Rocky Balboa franchise to me there. You know, it's not about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep going for. That's just reeling through my mind right there, which is, again,
Are you so inspired over there?
I was feeling inspired. I thought I was going to start going running up the stairs right now or something, throw my hands in the air.
I don't think I've ever seen you run the stairs.
I'll run half the stairs. but to stick to the point there, of course, that is absolutely vital. You know, as you said, you can throw out so much, but how much can you take is what really matters down the stretch. And again, Cohen Myers, phenomenal game by her, as she was between the pipes and had a 32 save effort. So, I mean, she was giving all she could. It's just, unfortunately, sometimes a little offense does help. As I feel like, you know, there used to be this threshold I found in like kind of minor hockey. And, you know, I never really played professional hockey, so I can't speak upon that.
Never really? You dabbled?
I looked at it.
You dabbled, okay.
I saw there was a tryout one time and didn't even come close, but, you know, I read about it in the paper. And, you know, there's kind of a threshold of about 3 goals, if you will. And that's kind of like the confidence meter for a goalie. If ever you get past 3 goals from your own goalie, then the confidence starts to dip a little bit because it's like, you know, I've kind of let in a lot. You know, it's kind of getting in my head. But
It really does get in your head.
Absolutely. But yeah. 3 goals or less,
yeah,
you know, that's a good game. Mm-hmm. Especially on a 32 save effort. You're talking about, what, 10 shots per goal? That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. So, you know, great effort by her out there. Unfortunately, Loria got a little penalty happy in this game as well, with a couple of tripping, you know, head contact, slashing. You know, those are some difficult penalties to rebound from. And as I did, we have spoken before about, you know, having the grittiness factor and how it can really attribute to success and, you know, resiliency down the line. Sometimes it does help to just, you know, take a step back and maybe not throw the bow up high or, you know, step into one where it doesn't always seem necessary. So, you know, all in all, it was a difficult game, and they didn't let up a single goal in the third.
No.
Which is noteworthy.
And, I mean, you have to know that Guelph is not a crappy team by no means. Guelph is currently first in the OUA. Mm. So you're taking – I mean, if you look at the weekend that the Hawks have had, you go from York, who is fairly low in the standings, and then you face a Guelph the very next day. It's two diametrically opposed squads. So, I mean, I think one thing you got to know is that Cohen Myers, first of all, can hang with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter the team. She can hang with them. So that is the first thing you want to know. But it is tough when, you know, you play a team one week, you have a nice gritty win, and then you play a very differently skilled team the next night. It's going to be tough, but this is a Guelph team that is very good. They could have easily had, you know, this could have been a 5-2 game. It could have gone anyway. But you know, it's not the worst outing for your Hawks, and you know, it's always good to finish the weekend with a win at least.
Absolutely. Honestly, what I was thinking about a lot of that time too, with talking about the two different opponents and two different outings, is like, to put in like some context as well, it's kind of like when you're making popcorn and when you're making corn. You know, making popcorn, you got it in the bag, you throw it in the microwave, you put it in for 2 minutes, 50 seconds, whatever you want to do, and it comes out as popcorn.
I'm not taking away from your analogy, but 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Maybe 30, if you
don't have a shot. Specifically, I was going to say, like, what is the 10 typically extra seconds going to do? You could just throw it in 3 minutes.
I want a couple more kernels about for me if I can.
All right.
When you make corn,
oh,
it's a process, though. It's an absolute process that takes a lot of time and a lot of dedication. Just to have that turnover, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult, you know? And, you know, when I think about, you know, the recent Stanley Cup champions and their runs, you know, think about the Washington Capitals the past year. I think, you know, the biggest standout moment that comes from the playoffs, it isn't a goal by Alex Ovechkin or any of his supporting cast. It's the tremendous save made by Braden Holtby against the Vegas Golden Knights. And what I do believe was the third game in the series. It was like a 1-tee. He had the bottom right corner picked off, and the goalie put his stick down and made a tremendous save. Tremendous save. And it's that play that sticks out because it was the goalie who made a tremendous save and was able to hang with a top team like the Vegas Golden Knights. So what I'm getting at there is sometimes, you know, offense can become stagnant. Sometimes goals can become tough to come by. But if you can have a consistency factor like Cohen Myers in the net, constantly stepping up day after day, sometimes it just takes one good game to kind of get a bit of momentum going. And a team like Guelph, you know, with a 12-2 record and a 59 goals for and 23 yeah. goals against stats, doesn't seem so daunting because you know behind the pipes and your end of the ice is just as strong and just as reliable. As I mean, Cohen Myers herself has only given up 39 goals, so it's not even that bad. Not even like there's some
really
teams out there with 60. Two of them out there with 60, you know? So just be thankful for what we have.
Yeah, seriously.
So, you know, looking ahead now a little bit with our women's hockey, a couple of games coming up against the Toronto Varsity Blues. That'll be a home game on the 26th of January at the Waterloo Memorial Recreational Complex at 7:07 p.m. And then they'll have a following game on January 31st at UIT at the Campus Ice Center, and that is in Oshawa. UIT?
Yeah, I think it's in Oshawa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll be at 7:30
p.m. I think we've
PM.
Looked this up like 3 times, and we still can't figure it out.
I tell you, I think you got to put like the, you know, Toronto puts the T, so I think they're also called Toronto, I guess. Yeah, it's a Mong's move. So, again, if you're in the area, do be sure to check it out. And that game as well, do be noted, starts at 7:30, not 7:07, so you will have 23 minutes, if my math is correct, 23 minutes of breathing time in between there. So, if you can, be sure to check that out. Shifting gears now to the men's side, as they had a couple of great games themselves. A couple of big dubs up at Lakehead as they won both those games by identical scores of 5-2. They played both those games on the 18th and 19th of January at the Fort Williams Gardens at Lakehead, which is where, again, because I know it just caught my
Lakehead's tongue. All the way up in Thunder Bay, so that's a trek, let me tell you.
Okay, we got Lakehead in Thunder Bay. We got Algoma in
Sudbury.
We got UIT is Oshawa. Who we miss? Nipissing? That's a team, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I don't know.
I just know we're going to catch all these again at some point, and I just, you know, want to get, I got to put like a geography map next to stuff, just kind of remind myself.
You know what we need? We need like an OUA map with just like the little teams.
It would honestly help. You know, like everyone knows Guelph and Western's in London and, you know, Ottawa's in, well, you know, and Carleton is in Ottawa. Everyone knows those, but like, I'm not taking away anything from the school. I feel like they're probably still fantastic schools, not as good as ours, but you know, it'd just be nice to know where the heck Algoma is sometimes. Just feel like it's so out there.
Nipissing is in North Bay.
North Bay.
That is where Nipissing is.
Like a 10-hour drive?
No, about 8.
8?
From here,
okay.
About 8. I think 8, 9, yeah.
Maybe with the snow, 9. If it's getting really bad while you're
depends on who's driving. If you're driving, 12. If I'm driving, 7.
12 and comfortable and fantastic music all along the ride. Thank you.
Oh, listen. You only need podcasts
for so long.
Podcasts and good company. That's all you need
for so long. A tune here and there does not hurt. Back to the main focus here. So your Hawks, again, fantastic outing in both of those games. They both scored 5 goals apiece in both games. Some standout performers for you, Joe Fan.
Lucas Batt got 2 goals of himself for himself. So, you know, that's anytime you can get a goal, that's a nice outing. But putting 2 of them away, that's a good feeling. And they're no garbage goals. Lucas Batt was able to get the... So Laurier scored their 2 goals to open the period. Open the game, really. And then Lakehead responded. Are we... You okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're just giving me a look over there.
No. Yeah, sometimes just, you know, I'm out in left field.
Lakehead was able to respond with 1 goal of their own. Lucas Batt came through and was able to put the 3rd goal that really kind of pushed those Hawks up on top. And from there, the Hawks did not look back. Able to score secure 2 more goals. Lakehead got one late in the third, but it was really over after that. After Lucas Batt was able to put his 1st one away, and then he was able to seal the game with the last one. So definitely a good performance by him there.
Absolutely, too. And I feel like with these 2 games, what really stands out to me in particular is the fact that Lakehead is quite identical to Laurier. I mean, if you look at the standings, they both have identical 10-11 records with 1 overtime loss, 1 shootout loss. Goals for Lakehead at 64 to Laurier 63. Goals against, Lakehead's pretty generous as they have 83 goals against where Laurier is 59. You know, they're quite identical.
Apparently for Lakehead, every day is Christmas because they've given up 83 goals.
83? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Waterloo's given up 92, so.
Wow, 92
I mean, every game is a real treat.
You know what's amazing,
They look though? Like the Salvation Army over there at Waterloo.
Oh, my gosh. Even they make a bit of profit, though. But you know what's amazing,
Oprah's though? Over there. You get a goal. You get a goal. Everybody gets a goal.
You know what? Yeah, but, like, how do you have 92 goals against, but you're not in last? You know, you ever wonder that? Like, how is Toronto Windsor not ahead of those guys? Like, it just, I mean, anybody plays them, they could score, apparently.
RMC's given up 94, so.
94 goals.
And they've only scored 44, so.
Wow. Okay, now here's a fun one for you. Ryerson has scored 108 goals for. 108 goals for. Those guys have got some snipers on that team over there. Those guys are absolute ched
they
finders.
They are leading the OUA in goals.
That's amazing. 108. 108. And I mean, it's been, what, like 20 games? 108 goals? What do you got? I didn't want to do the math. Was that like 4 goals a game? Something fun like that? You know what? The fact of the matter is, Laurier and Lakehead are just quite identical.
Wouldn't it be 5?
When I say 4?
Yeah. 20 goes into 100 5 times?
Listen, this is not a math show. This is a sports talk show. If we want to do a math show, that'll be at 10 o'clock. Okay? We'll sit here and talk about equations and the number of the week. Okay? The number of the week this week is 5. 5 for Laurier.
What is this? What is this? Sesame Street? The number? And what's the letter of the day?
W. It's for victory. Just with, you know, victory or something.
Victory, baby.
It's victory out here. That is what we're getting. 5-2 victories. You know, gotta love it. You know, Lucas Batt, as you said, had a great game. And the second game, it was really Will Cook who just stepped up in that game. As Lakehead got out to a bit of a start, you know, scoring 16-29 the first. And then Laurier, they let their sticks hang as they just potted 3 goals in that one. Will Cook getting the equalizer at the 31st second in the second period.
What did you just say?
They let their sticks, man. They just put it on the table. And then he got the game-winning goal at the 4-3 mark in the third period as they were just tearing things up in that game, Joe.
I am not going to let you diminish Will Cook's phenomenal game. Lakehead really did get off to a good start there. But you know what? Your Laurier Golden Hawks were able to respond. And we've been talking about this all year. It's the thing we just talked about with the women. It's how you respond. And immediately, Laurier gets down. They're able to respond. Lakehead responds. But then Laurier is able to respond with 4 goals of their own. So, I mean...
Jonathan, you ever play Battleship? I'm just curious. You ever play Battleship? You know that game?
Yeah, I know the game, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, B-21. You got a ship going on right there. It's kind of like what I'm seeing right here. They're playing some Battleship. You know, they sunk a couple of small little cruisers. But Laurier came out and they wanted the big boys. They wanted the big five-dot ships right there, and they put them in the water in that game. And you got to love it. You got to love what Laurier was doing out there. So looking ahead now to Laurier's next upcoming games, they got the Guelph Griffins on the 24th at the Sleeman Center, and that game is at 7 o'clock, not 7:07, 7 o'clock. And then they have a game on the 26th of January against the Western Mustangs, and that will be a home game at the Water Memorial Recreational Complex.
And Western's a good team this year.
Oh, that'll be fun to watch. Always fun to watch Laurier Western. Always fun. And that game is at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So if you're available, do come out and watch it as it's a home game. We're going to take a short break and be back with the hard court cuts for your Laurier basketball team. You know what's just a blessing to this earth, Jothan?
What is?
Water. God bless it.
I think that's part of the reason why most of the world lives near water.
Most. For those who don't, get closer.
let me tell you, I think there's a lot of people that they understand the importance of wanting to live closer as well.
I wish I could help them. You know, I just think about them sometimes in the middle of the night. Just, you know, what could I do to help them right now? But you know where you can get closer to water? The basketball court when it's just raining threes.
It was wet.
Oh, my gosh. Raining threes, raining dubs, just raining about anything you want it to rain. I mean, Algoma was a great place to be for your Laurier men's and women's basketball team.
It was not a great place to be. If you were the Algoma Thunderbirds, that was not a nice place to be. Your Laurier Golden Hawks, the women, they beat Algoma 61-55. And then in their second game, they beat Algoma 64-54.
You know, a fun fact that the Thunderbirds actually used to be an old British TV show, like with like little puppets, and they would go on like missions.
I don't think I know of this.
No, it was, they were like little puppets and they would go on missions around the world and like, you know, try and solve crimes, and you know, they're a little. I don't. You know what? It's just.
I think that's where Algoma got their name from.
That must have been it. That must have been it, because they played like puppets against your Laurier Golden Hawks, baby. That's what I'm saying out here. 61-55. Tell them what that is, Jothan. Tell them what that is.
That's a dub. Mm-hmm. Your Golden Hawks. We're familiar with it over this weekend. And notable performances out of this win, you could say, was Jill Condron. Female athlete of the week. In this game, she was able to put up 14 points of her own while getting 9 boards.
I think she's got a second job as a glass cleaner.
You know, it's not easy work down there.
Windex got to hire her.
Okay. We're getting out of control.
I had to finish that one.
But she was not the only one having a good night. Brianna had a nice night with 16 points of her own, put that with 4 assists as well. Tiana also had 11 points and 6 boards of her own. So, you know, we're getting a lot of good work out of this starting lineup. Off of the bench, Selena Elliott was also able to add 10 points. You know, you can never have too much bench scoring. Let's be real.
Absolutely, too. And as you spoke about, you know, having the collective effort of everybody putting in their fair share, getting on the scoreboard, and having 4 different players, one of whom was off the bench, putting up in double digits figures for points, is phenomenal. You know, that just says it was a group effort. Everybody contributed in their own way. Everybody was fruitful in their endeavors for all their specific goals on the court. As Jill, as we aforementioned, in the rebound department with 9, phenomenal. Brianna Yanazo shooting 2-for-6 from the 3-point line. So, you know, dropping a few in there. And Selena herself, too, dropping 2-for-4 from the 3-point line to contribute to her 10-point outing. So, you know, just, you know, a real overall team effort that resulted in a team victory.
So one thing I do want to talk about is we always get enamored by offense. People loved, remember when the Rams played the Chiefs? So much offense, so much fun. Sometimes you watch something like Golden State or Houston play and it's all offense, so much fun. Now, you can have too much offense, maybe like the All-Star game for basketball or something like that. There's maybe too much offense. But, you know, what's not often as celebrated is quality defense. what your Laurier Golden Hawks were able to do, the Algoma Thunderbirds were only able to score 8 points in the first quarter and 9 points in the second quarter. Your Golden Hawks held them to 17 points in the half, which is absolutely phenomenal when you take in that Laurier was able to put up 17 and 15 in that very same half.
You know, what's the old adage, Jothan, that defense wins championships. Offense wins games, but defense wins championships. And, you know, not to speak too enlightened here, if you will, but this game right here is kind of an example of what the Laurier Wins basketball team is capable of going down the stretch. And, you know, if they can hold their opponents these kind of outings in the first half where they can't even get the double digits for either quarter, then it shows certainly a lot of progress going down the line. As even continuing in the second game as well, in the 64-54 victory that they had, the first quarter alone, Algoma had 5 points. 5 points. And the second quarter, they had 7. So even less than what they had in the previous game. So, I mean, if you can match these efforts and reciprocate them game in and game out, you're really building for yourself a really solid foundation that could potentially result in a championship run.
And it's not just 5 points, right, that is like, wow, it's head-turning. Because, you know, sometimes NBA teams have bad quarters sometimes. What is amazing to see is, you know, the first game, you look at their shooting numbers, and you're talking 28% from the field, which is absolutely abysmal if you're talking about from the field. 9.5% from three for Algoma.
Oh, yeah.
And then you were able to, the second game, you're able to hold them to, again, 28% from the field. This time they improved, but only up to 20% from three, which really is three more threes.
I mean,
for the game,
took three more shots. So I mean, in essence,
you made the extra three. So you know, this is the type of defense that gets you excited to watch your Laurier women. Now, Algoma is not by no means one of the best teams in the league. It's not. But what is important is when you do get these games. And, you know, we all do it as players. We sometimes you look and you go, that's a W. You look at the schedule and you go, that's a W, that's a loss. Oh, that's going to be a good game. And at the end of the day, you do have to play the game.
Absolutely.
And anything can happen. Just ask the men's football team. Anything can happen. So you do have to go and play these games. And it's nice to see, you know, when your Laurier Golden Hawks, you can see the potential there. You can see, you know what, this could be a team. Right now, they're sitting in the middle of the Western Conference of the OUA. But this could easily be a team that, you know, maybe has a good kind of 4 weeks. And, you know, they jump up. And they're just on the cusp. You know, 6-10 right now. But this is a team, easily, you could say, in two weekends, is 10-10. And then we're talking about a very different team then. We're talking about a team saying, wow, you know, and that's what it comes down to, this in the playoffs. It comes down to where do you want to be? And just kind of grinding it out to say, you know what, you can do something special. There have been a lot of teams that have, you know, maybe started further than they've expected, or maybe not been where, but they have a good chance here to be something good and be something special.
Absolutely, too. And, you know, one team that really sticks out to me in professional level that kind of illustrates, like, potential of what the women's basketball team has here is just the recent playoff run of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, if you want to look at a beautiful team to mirror image by, that team started off 1-5, had an abysmal start. They just had a brand new coach. You know, things were looking kind of shaky. And they kind of set a mantra in their locker room of just doing things at one at a time. You know, we're not worried about being 1-5 or, you know, 9-5 or whatever victories we have down the line. We're just worried about 1-0. You know, next game we want to make ourselves 1-0 and just go from there. And they ended up going all the way to the playoffs and even winning a game. And they just carried that mentality of just the next game we need to be 1-0. We don't need to be 10-5 or 9-4 or whatever our record may be at that time. We need to be 1-0 after that current game for that specific day, pardon me. And looking ahead too, even some of the opponents ahead of the women's basketball team in the standings, you know, the Windsor Lancers, Lakehead, McMaster, those are some opponents that are, in fact, coming up for the women's basketball team. There is an opponent, you know, their second game on February 2nd will be against the Windsor Lancers. And then they have a back-to-back against the Lakehead. So, you know, those are games against opponents that are ahead of you in the standings. And if you think, just, it's not about going 3-0. It's about going 1-0, and then 1-0, and then 1-0. Keeping that mentality on a day-by-day kind of process, you can really put yourself in a position where you can have success down the line.
And how many times have we talked about momentum? You're in the final stretch of this season here. You have, what is it, like 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe about 10 games left, max? Yeah,
approximately.
You know, are we saying win all of them? Maybe not.
No.
But if you win a chunk of those going down the stretch, you know, you're putting yourself in, you know, you start feeling better. You're walking around campus, you know, kind of like your shoulders are lifted. You know, we can do this. You feel like, you know what, we can take on anybody in this conference and we can win. And who knows? Because you know what? This is basketball. It's a ball game. Anything can happen.
Absolutely. And you know what? Even to put things in even smaller perspective, pardon me, is just on January 23rd, their next game against the Guelph Griffins, which will be at home, and that'll be at 1 o'clock Eastern, and then they have a game against Waterloo on the 25th, and that'll be in Waterloo. I mean, at the Waterloo Stadium, you know, just up the road, and that'll be at 6 o'clock Eastern. But, yeah, you know, a way to look at it, too, is just forget the Waterloo game and look at Guelph right now. On January 23rd, you want to end that day at 1-0. That's
yeah.
it. Don't worry about your record beforehand. Don't worry about your victory you had at Algoma. And don't worry about your loss you had against McMaster, the top team in the conference. Worry about that day specifically against the Guelph Griffins and end that day 1-0. And then go to your next day, or 2 days later, pardon me, against the Waterloo Warriors and finish that day 1-0. Take it each day, one at a time, and just let things figure themselves out.
Yeah, and hey, you know what? It's going to be motivating when you get in the water in the athletic complex gym, and you're going to have a bunch of screaming fans because it is the school day game.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a bunch of kids yelling and having a good time. Feed off of that. You can take on Guelph. That's a winnable game. Same with Waterloo. But, you know, we're going to switch to the men's side of things, but definitely go watch go support the women's game. If you are on campus, you don't have class or anything like that, definitely feel free. We would never advocate for you skipping class. But I mean, if you want to go watch the game, you're an adult, make your own decisions.
Some classes take 15 minutes breaks. You never know where you can go in 15 minutes.
Both of the games will be available on OUA TV, and definitely go watch those. Switching to the men's side of things, where your men were all the way up in Sault Ste. Marie. So, again, another little road trip. A lot of your Hawks were on a road trip this weekend.
Oh, they were far, far
yeah.
away.
Where your men were able to pull out two, I'd say, decisive victories. The first one being an 89-68 win over the Algoma Thunderbirds. And the second being a 96-87 win over those same Thunderbirds.
In overtime at that as well. So immediately, the first thing that sticks out to you from those two games is just the performance put on by by Ali So.
You were going to say James Harden, weren't you?
You know, I watched a bit of basketball over the weekend. I don't know. I see the beer and I see the fro. Sometimes I think you throw it around and they're the same person. I don't know. Did James Harden just lose a couple of years and jump back into our league? Maybe. If you look at the points, you take away the name, you think you got the same person, Jothan.
If you don't know what Ali So did, this guy went. He played 38 minutes, dropped 37 points.
Mm.
I don't know what you call that, but I call that at minimum productive.
And you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy too is that was just the first game. You think, you know, that kind of
how could you eclipse such a miraculously productive performance? Well, you know what you do? You play 40 minutes and drop 41 points.
That's almost a point. That's more than a point a minute. That's more than a point a minute. I mean,
it's like 1 point. 2 points, no, 1 point, like 1 points per minute.
I think 1.0, so like the math is just
again, this is
right
not
here.
A math show. You want to tune into that? That's not us.
Numbers 5 tonight.
You
by
know
the way.
What? If Radio Laurier did one good thing, they did not give us a math show.
Oh, that would be a very well or badly recepted show at that. We would have some bad equations coming your way.
Or do you think it would be a good show?
let me tell you.
Because you know how sometimes are so bad, it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you ever listen to music and you're like, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is bad.
Friday by Rebecca Black.
Exactly. Yeah. That, like, those are the songs I'm talking. You remember American Idol? Remember William Hung? Do you remember that? He was the guy who was doing the audition. She bang, she bang. Oh, baby. Oh, you don't remember that? Okay.
No, I never saw Either that.
Either way, he blew up, and it was like, this was back in like 2004. I was a kid. I was just a little ute running around. Old, you know that.
The old days.
But sometimes things are so bad that they're good.
That's true.
So maybe we should, moral, give us a math show.
We'll see what happens. We could have some fun with it. We'll throw some equations around. Maybe we'll just try and solve for X. Who knows?
I don't even know what X is doing. It's math. Why are there letters?
X has been gone for 2 years, so we don't know what they've been up to nowadays.
What's happening with your X? I don't know.
Who knows?
But, you know, let's get back to basketball. Not only did Ali So have a phenomenal performance with his 37 and his 41, but in that second game, which we'll spend a little more time on because it was a little bit closer, definitely the better of the two games, Habimana. He had himself a nice day as well. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. That sounds like productive to me.
Absolutely. You know, and we'll talk about some numbers and some math equations. We're talking about 4 from 6 from the free throw line. We're talking about 8 for 14 field goals made for that day. Briefly touching upon Ali Stowe again, he shot 8 for 13 3-point attempts. 8 for 13, that's nuts.
This is a good shooting team, man.
Wow.
Like, I don't, maybe in years past, not necessarily with Laurier, but you watch OUA basketball and you're kind of like, you know, they'll shoot it and you're kind of like, is it going to go in? I don't know. Watching Laurier basketball this year, you're literally sitting there like, they shoot it, it'll go. They are this game, in the overtime game, they shot 40% from three.
And look at how close their field goal percentage is at that too, 47.3. To have that close a field goal percentage and a 3-point percentage is unheard of. It's unheard of.
Now, I'm not here rooting for Algoma. But in that second game, Algoma, and let me tell you, they shot well from three.
Wow.
Kiefer, they shot 52.2%, which is absurd in itself. But like, they shot better from three than they did from the field.
That's outrageous. Now, to put it into context, though.
They did shoot 23 of them.
And they got 12, where we got 13 in and we shot 32. You know, so volume shooters. And, you know, that can be live and die by the three, as the phrase often goes. And in this particular game, we happen to win, or to live. Live a good, strong 2 days from those victories. As, you know, everyone was hitting the three. Shadir Tenney came out off the bench, dropped a three. Jackson Mayers, Matt Minatulo, everyone was taking their shots at him. Even Natora, as aforementioned before, took a couple shots at the three-point line. Vincent Carriere, Adnan Begovic. You know, everyone just saw an opportunity and took it. And that's what we always speak about, you know. Never be scared. Always shoot with confidence. And there are always a chance of good results coming from that. And as aforementioned too, you know, looking at Algoma and their side of things, they had very much a spread of the wealth in terms of their three-point percentage shots, but you won't see as many players just taking, you know, the quantity of shots that, like, Ali So takes. And, you know, it's sometimes that quantity that does translate in the amount of points that he does have, as aforementioned as well. But I feel when you look at Algoma, it's not, you know, as concentrated. Where, you know, when you look at Laurier, Ali So just takes over games. And it's just so hard to stop him. You know, I do believe the second leading point scorer or points per average.
In the OUA.
In the OUA, which is phenomenal. Phenomenal in his own sense, too. So, huge credits for him for that one, too. Camille Archer coming off the bench and having that production. Having 11 rebounds, too. You know I love that. You know I always love that.
Oh, that's big man work over there.
Oh, absolutely.
The extra frame for me is what is what's kind of interesting in that Golden Hawks game. Because, you know, the extra frame, it's not a lot of time. But you're able to watch your Golden Hawks, who put up 14 points in the extra frame, which is a pretty good, it's pretty good, to be honest. Like, especially you want the momentum, you want to get going. You're on the road. You want to shoot it, and let's get out of here. Let's take the trek back home, because it is an eight-hour trek home. So that's really what your mindset is. And your Laurier men came out swinging. Algoma was only able to hit 5 points in the extra frame. Your Laurier Golden Hawks outscored them by 9 points in that extra frame, which is huge. Because, you know, where I see this is that that's what playoff basketball is going to be like. Not necessarily overtime frames, but the intensity of an overtime. That's, if you could capture the intensity of an overtime and spread it over the course of an entire game, that's what the playoffs are. So when you look at your Hawks, and especially coming down the stretch here, because we already know Laurier is second in the West. They're a good team. They're going to make the playoffs. I'm pretty confident they're not going to lose out. Pretty confident in that. But what you're looking for, especially right now, are these kind of situational warm-up type games. So, and you see that with someone like LeBron James. I mean, what does he do in the month of January? I mean, right now he's injured. Relax. So nothing. Mm-hmm. But we've watched this time and time again. You watched him with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Where's LeBron James? Oh, you know, I don't think Cleveland's going to make the Eastern Conference Final this year. I don't think they're going to represent the East this year. I don't think. And then, you know, you have to almost remind yourself, relax. It's January. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a rest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a rehearsal. Hey, we got in an interesting situation. And you know what's something interesting? Coaches will tell you this all the time. That's what the regular season oftentimes is for. Mm-hmm. Is sometimes coaches will try out, hey, you know what? Let me run a new play. Let's run a new play in different situations. Let's get young guys new situational experience. This is situational experience. When it's going to come down to, because this is a good team. So you can easily see this Laurier Golden Hawks team, you know, in a semifinal facing a Ryerson or a Carleton saying, can we make it to the final eight? Can we get to the national tournament?
Absolutely, too. And I just briefly before, I just want to briefly touch upon something that just really stuck out to me from that overtime game, actually, is the fact that Laurier shot a perfect 100% from the three-point line and 83% field goals, 5 for 6. So, you know, those kind of moments where you step up, and just as you talked about against Carleton and against Ryerson, against those top-tier teams, you produce those kind of results, you can beat anybody.
Seriously, anybody. You can beat anybody with that. So that is super encouraging when you look at something like that and you look at overtime frames. And because that, to me, that's what's important. First periods are super important. To me, I look at first periods, third periods. Kind of obviously you want to peep out the fourth period. Can you close out games or things like that? But overtime periods, when you do get them, you got to look at those and say, were you able to produce something? Were you able to, you know, shore up the defense when you're tired? Everyone's tired. And you know, take these games and really run with them and prove why you are one of the better teams in the province and let's say in the country. Mm-hmm. Tell the voters why you deserve to be on that top 10 list.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, beautiful way to put it. Beautiful way to put it. So just briefly looking ahead now for your Golden Hawks, as they do have that aforementioned school day game tomorrow. That'll be at 11 o'clock in the morning, and that is against, of course, the Guelph Griffins. So if you're available and not in class, do come out and watch. And then the other next game, of course, against the Waterloo Warriors, and that is at the Waterloo Stadium at the University of Waterloo.
At the PAC, so definitely go check that out.
At 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, so if you're available, do come on out. And that about wraps it up for this week's episode of Hawkeyes. We thank you guys for joining us. Always had a great time with you guys. And we'll catch you next week.
Have fun.